Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo of Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And we've got a couple of chaps on the podcast today. A couple of people from the Trash Tapes podcast. We're doing a crossover episode. So we have a lovely Mr. Johan and a lovely Mr. Ed. Do you want to introduce yourself?
First of all, calling him Mr. Ed, I don't think that's appropriate for the fact that he's not a horse. He's not a talking horse. Just to clarify, my name is Johan Chapal. I am basically the host and the inflictor of pain on the Trash Tapes podcast. And the main thing is I always bring my victim, Ed, to sit down and watch famously terrible movies. We have done quite a few as we speak. At the beginning, it was mostly me being the expert, but looks like slowly but surely, like any kind of Padawan and some kind of sensei, I have basically have been teaching the ways of trashy movies to Ed. And now he's, I think I would argue he's my equal. Isn't that right, Ed?
The student has become the trashter.
Yes. I've kind of saw like DJ Ed now as well with the mixer and stuff. It's like
yes, he was introducing his
DJ Ed. Like, makes me think of those old like Harry Enfield sketches with the DJ.
Yes.
Smashing icing.
Cool. How long have you been doing the Trash Tapes for?
Well, we have been doing it really for about 2 years now, but we don't have as many episodes as you, mainly because in order for time reasons and also just for our own sanity, we only did once a month, right? So we're now on episode 20. We're going to be on episode 20-ish now, but by the time this comes out, we'll be a few more episodes. But each one being a different trip, as it were, down the lane of trash. That's what's so great about it. It's not just like you guys, which just do horror movies. We do a bit of everything. We do action movies. I've got some other things in the pipeline, like art house stuff and sci-fi. So we branch out basically.
Yeah, and you do some live screenings. I've seen.
Oh yes, we've done two live screenings, haven't we, Ed?
Yeah, they've been really good. That was kind of like an end goal for us, but it's come quite early on, really, because it was going to be something we build a way towards, but we talked to Adam, the cinema programmer at the Quad, and he was really up for, like, he likes trashy movies as well, so he's really up for, like, doing screenings with us and stuff. So, yeah, we just hosted a couple of movies. We've done Miami Connection, and we did the Troll 2 was the first one we did.
Yeah,
and they've gone down really well. The first one was pretty good, but the second one was even better because people sort of knew about it a bit more then on the second time, so...
That's heavy promotion cool. On my end. Heavy promotion on my end. Just me going like, watch this movie. It's the best. It's got ninjas. It's got bikers. And it's got cocaine. And it's got everything. Why are you not watching this movie? Honestly enough, what I love about the screenings is that I love the fact that I'm sharing my love of rubbish movies to people and seeing their first reaction to some of them are priceless.
Yeah.
I'd love to do like a screening at some point, but maybe... I mean, me and Ben don't live in the same place. It's quite difficult to do.
Yeah,
But
it's a shame. just do this. Just have two webcams at a corner and just there. It's like, right, we're going to watch it as it is now, just like a weird, bizarre Twitch stream on some kind of thing there. Yeah.
That's a bit creepy. Yeah. Just.
So, I mean,
we're actually hoping to host a screening of this, aren't we?
Yes. The reason why we're doing this is because we were asked, and obviously we are suckers for promotion and anything else. So, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. We'll do it for the fans. And so we were asked to do the movie we're going to be reviewing today.
Do you want to say what it is? I could tell it's on the end of your lips.
It's on the tip of his tongue.
So, first of all, I would like to apologize for giving you this very special experience. The movie we're going to be reviewing is Spookies.
Okay. Well, before we get on to Spookies and all the Spookies, we need to talk about what we've been watching. I mean, we normally sort of have a back and forth and just say what films we've been watching, what TV shows and that kind of thing. Have you guys got anything that you want to bring up or
well, I haven't really been, weirdly enough, I've been watching a lot more stuff on Netflix recently because we're in our isolation stations and we have a lot of free time, so a lot of stuff on Netflix, and I've also been binge buying a lot of stuff on DVD whenever something just arrives. It's like, oh, it's coming now. So I've recently rewatched Knives Out, which absolutely brilliant. I saw it in the cinema, and I saw it again, and I just think it still works. I love it a bit. And recently, Ed and I, we went to see The Invisible Man, didn't we?
Yeah, that was excellent. I was really impressed with that movie.
Really, really good stuff. Yeah. Other than that, then because the third series season is out of it, I've been watching the Castlevania anime.
Oh, the Warren Ellis one. Yeah, I need to catch up on that. Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty darn good. And the thing is, it's good even if you don't know anything about the video games. It's just good stuff. It's vampires.
Yeah, I watched the first season of that. Enjoyed it.
Really good.
Yeah, me too.
What about you, Ed?
I've been watching Better Call Saul. That I really, really love that. That's like, because it's sort of like, because I really like Breaking Bad. So it's kind of like carrying on that kind of fix. It's very similar, but it's pretty good. It's got really gritty drama.
I've heard a few people say it's better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I agree with that, but it is very, very good. It's like five seasons.
I'm so far behind. I think I maybe saw like two seasons of that. And
it's one of those that takes you a bit of time to get into. It's like, I didn't think much of it to begin with, but I really like it now. I've been mainly watching TV stuff. I've been watching with Sophie RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's
amazing. It's so entertaining.
Every time, and here's the thing though, every time I used to go over to your house to do like recording and stuff properly, about before the pandemic happened, it was hilarious because Sophie would be there and then was like saying like, okay, we're having dinner, we're all watching RuPaul, and it annoys me because I'm sitting there and I am just, I get super flamboyant and flamsy anyway, but when I watch it, I'm going, god damn it, Jesus, no, stop doing that, girlfriend. And I'm literally doing snapping. I'm getting annoyed at everyone. I'm getting involved in the drama, and I hate it afterwards.
Me too.
Yeah, I hate it.
Sounds like you hate how much you love it.
It's like an abusive relationship, basically. I can't leave it.
I get understood it for a long time, and Kat, my missus, used to put it on all the time. And I used to get really angry that it was on. When I looked over once and she'd paused it, and there was a woman dressed as a sandwich crying in the arms of a woman dressed as Marie Antoinette with nipple tassels. I was like, this is insane. What is this?
It is so much
Hang
fun.
On a minute.
Yeah,
it is the kind of thing you want. Like, well, because I wouldn't watch it if it wasn't for Sophie.
Yeah.
She got me into it.
It's all the puns as well. I love the constant ribbing. Yeah, it's good. Other than that, I just watched Spookies. So I guess we're all primed and ready to jump into Spookies.
Right, Spookies. So, so just before we go into anything, let's go in a couple of words or sentences. Describe your feeling as you were watching Spookies.
I felt like I was being attacked. by Boglins. You know those little toys?
Boglins! Boglins! I should have wrote that down because I fought Boglins at least five times. I had Boglins.
The Boglins. I always wanted a Boglin, but they were expensive, weren't they?
Yeah. They had like the same teeth. The way the things in the mouths yep. were, they were Boglins. There was no way to put it.
I feel like this film almost became 4D for me. Like I feel like I could smell like the latex and yeah. all of the monster effects. I was like, yeah. I could smell that latex. It's so rubbery. I could smell it right now.
Yeah.
Oh my god, brilliant! I'm glad that this movie's giving you some kind of bizarre out of body experience because it has for me. How about you, Ed?
I was finding it like a slog, like a real slog. And then when the sort of the crazy effects started kicking in, I was like, oh, okay, this has got something redeeming.
Yeah,
like,
they came quite looked, later on.
Like,
yeah, they did.
Generic Halloween costume type, like, enemies. I'm saying enemies like it's a game. But it was a bit like, it felt like I played a game or some kind. Yeah, bad Resident Evil.
No, I was thinking more, this reminds me of, in terms of how the layout is and all the monsters, it finds a little bit like, it's like playing a game of Slaughterhouse without the killer fucking guy with the machete to do all the slaughtering. Because
here's a
monster. Yeah, Splatterhouse. Sorry, Splatterhouse. Yeah. You've got like monster here, monster there, monster here, monster there, monster there, monster there. It's kind of overwhelming. So right, I'm gonna give you a bit of a breakdown because usually on the Trash Tapes we usually go through context because I kind of feel like sometimes in most trashy movies the backstory for these are far more interesting than the actual movie itself. And so we're going to go for a little bit here. So Spookies is a 1986 American independent horror film directed by Brandon Faulkner and Thomas Doran, which was lit with additional footage directed by Eugene Joseph. Now, there's going to be a story involving that. Okay. Now, the film was given a limited theatrical release in 1987, but then it became really popular, and this is where it grew its cult following, when it started to air on cable TV multiple times, almost on a rotation, between 1988 and 1991. This is why it became so successful, because it was just constantly forced down people's throats on TV. Yeah.
Wait, that so is, who
sounds
is
like
who's
his
the
wonderful life.
The director were Brendan Faulkner and Thomas Doran, with additional footage directed by Eugene Joseph.
When the end credits rolled, I didn't see any directed by credits roll up.
Well, there is a story for that.
Okay, all right.
So let me just break this down for you. So the two directors, original directors, Brendan Faulkner and Thomas Doran, were first-time directors, right? But they have basically done a lot of stuff. They were doing a lot of indie horror movies and stuff like that. We're talking over-the-top exploitation stuff. But they never got their projects fully completed. So this is a summary of their guys' expertise. So they were able to still have all these scripts and all this stuff they've never been able to film. So they made a sort of a showreel, and they made showreels and sent it around studios and stuff like that to get something going for a different movie altogether called Twisted Souls, right? When that happened, basically one of there was a financier that got involved. His name is Michael Lee, and he looked at some of the showreel stuff and looked at a project that never got out of footage from a movie that never got out called Hellspawn. So already I'm excited, right? So there's an unknown movie called Hellspawn that's never got made properly. And Michael Lee said, I like these guys. I'm going to give them something. So
okay.
They backed this movie. So they start filming. They start filming the movie in about 1984. They start filming with this financier's backing and his links to other studios, which makes it very, very fascinating stuff. And the movie was very different. Twisted Souls, which is what just happened to be, was a very different movie altogether. And you can kind of see that because the idea of the script, and I think I have a quote here, actually. I think I have a quote here. Basically, the whole point of the movie was going to be a subversion of the haunted house trope. Where they were able to find a really, really exciting location, like this sort of house. The house, by the way, let's look into it. It looks awesome, the outside of the house. It looks like old school timery house, yeah? Interesting fact to throw into that. This house was a 24-room colonial house that was abode with by one of the Americans' founding fathers.
Ah. Interesting.
John Jay, apparently. So he apparently, this is a history house. This house has history already in itself.
Was he one of the dusty fart monsters?
Oh, we're going to get into the dusty fart monsters. Oh, yeah. So basically... it was fantastic. I wouldn't be surprised, actually. So this is a history house. They're able to have access to this history house. They look into the house and realize there's 24 rooms. And so he's thought to himself, right, the director's literally said, and I quote, "There is a monster every two pages," when he wrote it. Mm-hmm. They batted out, they looked at this place and said, right, we're going to write something. They batted out a script in 2 weeks, which you can kind of tell. And then they said the whole point, they want to do a subversion of the haunted house, where it's not really a haunted house. It's going to be a little bit like Evil Dead. It's going to be a little bit like that, but with a different monster in every single room.
Yeah, I got the Evil Dead vibes, especially when what's-her-name flipped and started speaking in the voice of that Paul Daniels guy.
The magician.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it started
getting... Bobby McGee was there as well in the background.
Yeah, just imagine it going in. It's like, now for my next trick, I'm going to summon something else. Pretty much. It was kind of ridiculous.
Gives it a theme park ride vibe, doesn't it, with the different...
Yeah. It definitely feels like that. It feels like you should be sitting in a car somewhere and you should be roller coasted around. We're going in now, we're going into the vampire room and just kind of do that. Even the director, Brendan Faulkner, actually said, like, this was an opportunity for us, but we felt like we could do something that was a different kind of scary. One review of this actually said that there was more monsters per minute than anything else, which, yeah, that sums it up quite nicely. This was full on. It was intense. They purposely designed it to be, let's just make as many horrors as we can. They had a lot of connections with people who worked in gore because of all the previous stuff. And so that's why the movie gore, the gore level and the animation in this movie is actually surprisingly comfortable. Well, like, it's actually good.
It's weird. Like, halfway through the movie, there's like suddenly like some great effects moments where someone gets melted down or something. Yes. But like, it's come out of nowhere. Like, it didn't. I wasn't expecting that level of competence in the gore. But it's good. It's got the zombies have like a sort of Fulci zombie looking style to them. Yeah, I thought the effects were great, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Even a bit of stop frame in there as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
At one point. You got prosthetic stop frame. You've got some nice old school effects in there.
It's pretty decent, the gore effects here. It's not bad. And so it's the only problem with the movie is that you don't really, like you said, it comes out of nowhere. You're not introduced to this until really much to the end of the movie. And so you're like, what? It's bizarre. Really, really bizarre stuff. What happened eventually is when they shot everything, all right, it was great. They had this idea going. It was wonderful. And so they started to do the post-production. They start editing it, all right? But then some creative and legal issues between the producers, the directors, and the financial backer prevented the final post-production to go for. So this is final editing, the scoring, any post-production effects, etc. It kind of stopped them from doing it. Apparently, there was a 2.5-hour version of this movie. So, okay.
Yeah.
Bear that in mind.
Oh, wow.
Which was...
A missing hour somewhere.
There's a missing hour somewhere. There was a 2.5... The movie was originally 2.5 hours, but it was a rough cut. It was just a rough cut. Yeah. It wasn't meant to ever be released, right? Michael, on the other hand, really was kind of scared as he was watching the movie whether the movie was going to do any good. So he took the rough cut behind the backs of the director to the studio to show them what the progress was so far.
Mm. Which one was Michael? He was the producer.
Michael was the financier.
Right.
So the financier basically said, like, oh, wait a minute. I need money. I need to make sure this makes money. So he took the final, the rough cut, took it to the studios, and then the studios hated it because, like, it's slow, it's sloggy. This is not the pace we're going for. It's too violent. It's too all this without a proper cut without the pacing issues and so on and so forth. When the directors found out, they got pissed. They got really, really pissed to the point that this is where they start having a couple and arguing and saying like, no, you don't understand. We need more time. We need to do this properly. While Michael was saying, you're pissing away your money. Actually, that's a quote, according to the article. He says, you're pissing away my money. I need results now. So because of the contract issues that they signed with the studio and so on and so forth, they couldn't. The directors lost the opportunity to use their footage, right? But the producers, on the other hand, had a different contract, which stated that they actually had some ownership of the production. So, basically, this led to about a good 40... So that means, technically, the movie couldn't... The original footage couldn't really be used. But the studio, but the financier and the studios argued they can be used. So it came with a compromise. The compromise is, okay, fine. We will shoot about 65% of the movie new, right off the bat.
Right, okay.
Jesus Christ.
With a whole new cast and crew, everything else. Because they couldn't bring the original cast back. So they shot 65% of the movie with whole different plot lines, everything else, and then just cut it together to make some kind of coherent sense, in air quotes, to get this settled. So the financier hired Eugene Joseph to direct more footage, which was placed together with the finished footage from Twisted Soul to create the movie Spookies, because they don't actually own the rights to Twisted Souls. But the only homage to that is at the beginning, where it actually says the Twisted Souls Productions.
Wait, so which half of the movie was Twisted Souls, yeah, and which?
The one that's better.
The latter half, then?
No, the newer half. So the older half, the one with all the gore.
Yeah, so the latter half of the movie.
Yeah, so the one with all the gore, one with the original, that's the original piece.
Okay,
the one with all the gore, that is Twisted Souls.
Okay,
the one with the magician and the reincarnated bride and the 13-year-old kid and the cat man thing, that's all new footage.
Yeah.
That's all new. That's all new shit.
Right? Yeah, because I hated all that stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Too. You can even tell the production was totally different. You can see that they now had to shoot all this again with half of the original budget to finish off 65% of the movie that didn't already exist, which is why you can notice that the movie has a lot of things involving padding.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. So yeah, by that point, they said, okay, fine, we're just going to... And then the studio said, fuck it. We've wasted enough time, it is, just launch it out. And this is how we ended up with this horrendous slice of a movie. Spookies is actually two movies in one, and you can tell.
Yeah.
Well, that Frankenstein-esque mishmash of different bits, isn't it?
Now that you've mentioned it, like, I feel like I can tell. But at the time, I just kind of thought it was just a bit of a lull in the film, like their various parts. I kind of just felt it was a bit of a roller coaster.
I did think, like, so who's the main?
It made me feel a bit sick.
Character supposed to be, because like halfway through the film, it becomes the dead lady who'd been brought back to life. Mm. She becomes like the final girl, but that's weird because she's not like introduces a normal character. It's weird. It's a weird movie.
The original character is supposed to just be the people who go into the house.
Yeah.
They were the heroes, right? They were supposed to be it, right? But the whole thing, like with the magician, the reincarnated bride, the catman, the weird sort of witch thing that's living in the basement.
The
little boy and the weird creepy stalker that seems to magically appear there for no reason.
Gotta ride for an old man.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
All that brand spanking new stuff. Obviously, the reception for that became, well, people noticed. It didn't do very well. The whole budget was about $5 million to make. It only grossed $17,785 in the box office.
That's Christ.
But that people are still doing podcasts about it today. So
yeah, they are.
It's because
they won in the end.
It's because of TV circulation. But oddly enough, it was a huge success in... Okay, do you want to guess which country this place was a huge success in?
Canada.
No.
Was it an Asian country?
Yes.
China.
Part of China.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong! Thank you very much! This movie was a blast in Hong Kong. It did so well. It's now become, it did so well, it was circulating in cinemas for a very long time in Hong Kong in 1987.
I wonder why. Was it the Chinese spider lady?
Maybe. Oh yeah, the spider queen. The weird ass spider queen.
The weirdest thing about that is that when she appeared, she had like her own theme music. She had like some Asian Asian music when she appeared.
Yeah.
God. What's going on? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Kind of imagine it doing well, like on TV, on cable TV or whatever, because like it is like that constant hit of just like monsters and various different effects.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it doing quite well in that instance.
It's like the movie. The best way to describe the movie, it's like a sucker punch. It happened. It's like a guy punching you, like doing that, right? But it keeps punching you every 2 minutes, and you don't have time to get your wind back. So a moment you go, all right, okay, I'm fine now. Oh Jesus Christ! Do it again. Right, this is another thing now. Jesus, stop it! I felt pummeled and the movie's not even that long. The movie's only 75 minutes, and I felt like I've been clobbered constantly over the head.
What was the first moment in the film? Because for the start of the film, I was kind of zoning out a bit, I've got to admit. But then something happened, and I was like, oh shit, I was not expecting that. Yeah. What was the moment for you?
Okay. Right. So the moment for me that where I realized that this is going to be something special for me is the introduction to the Catman and how he buries a child.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that's
that is horrible. Like, there's something about a few buried alive scenes. Like I'm thinking particularly Casino, where Joe Pesci gets his head caved in with an aluminium baseball bat and then buried alive. Something about that is really, really horrible. And even in a film like this, I found it really, really horrible.
It's weird, though, because he seems to be burying that kid for, like, hours. Like, he just seems to be constantly shoveling stuff on. I'm like, what? When is he going to fill that hole?
It's too much hard work, isn't it? It looks like too much hard work. I'm like, I don't think I'd ever want to bury a kid.
The worst thing is you can see, like, the kid is just lying there. And obviously, this is the part of this, the new director, whatever it is like saying, right, we can't afford a dummy. So it's just, kid, just lie in there while we throw dirt on you. And you can, it looks really bad because he's in his face, he's doing this. He's already fighting it off. He's just going, no.
First, I was a bit like Luke at the beginning. I was like sort of not really interested. The first time I started to get interested is when this bit, I'll play a clip.
Happy birthday, Billy.
It's just when he opens the present and he's got the severed head in the box. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm interested now.
Yeah, that was like, oh, okay, we're doing something weird here.
It's a surprise birthday party. Come on, guys, I know you're here.
But all right. You know, all the effects on the, like, sort of the voices for the, like, the demon.
It sounds like he's talking horrible, to an like, empty bean effects.
Like, they were just talking down a pipe, like a...
Like a toilet roll.
A drain pipe.
No, toilet rolls are too valuable in this day and age. But, you know, it sounds like they recorded all his lines in a bathroom. And just said, this is fine. We will run with this.
Yeah.
All right. So so basically, that's all the factoids for that. It's a fascinating watch once you realize the backstory to this. So we're going to go right into the plot. Now, there's not much of a plot. I'm using air quotes. Because there really isn't much of a plot here. In fact, I'm going on IMDb, and there's two plots. And you know what? That sums it up, because there are literally two plots. So first of all, first plot is... actually, Ed, before we usually do this with a bit of music. Do you have any music?
Yeah.
Let's put some new music in, shall we? While we do that.
Can you hear it? I'll turn it down, because you can talk over it.
Nice. Okay, so here we go. Right, lower it down a little bit, just a tiny bit. Okay, cool. So, right. So the plot is basically, there's two plots here. So I'm going to say both of them. So one is a sorcerer tries to sacrifice a group of people inside his house and the intention of using their vitality to keep his dead wife alive. And then the second plot is, taking a wrong turn, travelers find themselves trapped in a mysterious house. One horror after another threatens them as a sorcerer who lives within tries to sacrifice their eternal life for his beautiful bride. And you can start to notice that, you know, try and put these two plots together, there really isn't much of a plot here. It's just a whole bunch of shit that puts together with it happens to be just right. There's a plot here somewhere. Oh, now there's a sorcerer. Oh, wait. Oh, actually, there's a wife thing now. Oh, wait. Now there's deadites. Oh, wait. There's a weird sea monster things. Oh, wait. There's this thing.
Like a merman type of thing.
Oh, the merman. The fucking merman.
Maybe this was like the plot for The Cabin in the Woods before that actually got made. They took inspiration from Spookies. Like, how many different creatures can we get? And they got all these creatures in the film. Let's get all these creatures in one scene. They just wanted to beat Spookies, basically.
Yeah. I kind of got the feeling that that was the case, really. The only thing missing from this movie to make a complete reference would have been a unicorn, but that would have been something.
That would have completed it.
All right. So basically, you guys then, let's go through some of the beats. So first of all, how does this movie technically start?
A little boy runs away from home.
And yeah.
He's got like a little box of cocaine at first, but they're actually snowballs. He opens it like it's a thing of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
And happy birthday, Billy. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So the 13-year-old kid just runs out of nowhere. And for the first time, you're not entirely sure why he's running away or why he's there or what's the point of it. And actually, once you think about the whole movie, it's like, well, what's the point of half this shit anyway? So this is where you're first introduced to the hard cuts. We need to talk about the editing here. We kind of need to talk about the editing for the whole movie here. There are some incredibly hard left turn cuts in this entire movie. One good example is you have the kid who's like walking. He's a 13-year-old boy. He's walking around. He's lost in the forest. He's going like, yeah, whatever. He's hiding behind a tree. And he's looking all mopey. And then he just does a hard turn. And then you cut to the old movie with these people driving down the road as if it's like, oh, I'm just around the corner from these mysterious people, these asshole people who are driving.
Real weird mix of people as well.
Yeah. I don't understand why they know each other.
What? Yes. Okay. So,
just comment on what was the name of the like jock type character?
Duke. Yeah.
Just comment on what he was wearing? Because he was wearing some sort of a bodysuit that looked like a bin bag that had a diagonal zip going down it. He looked like a Power Ranger and a gigolo.
Cool. It's weird how like
no one else is dressed like that. No one else.
I know, right? Ed, you were saying like it's amazing. He's supposed to be the jock. When he looks like the weirdest fashionista in that entire thing. Also, can I mention, right? You mentioned like how do these people know each other? I don't have a clue because they're all so fucking different. And one person looks like their dad.
Yeah, I thought it was one of their dads.
In my notes, initially. He's like dad guy.
Yeah,
couldn't remember his name, so he's dad guy.
Yeah, because he looks at least 15 years older than everyone else, but they're supposed to be all together. In fact, at one point, I think one of the kids said, like, I'm sorry, kids. It's like, stop it. So weird. So you have an old guy who looks like a dentist. You have Duke who's wearing a bin bag. You have my favorite person of all time, the guy with the puppet.
Oh, I find him really annoying.
I love him.
When he's introduced, he's like this.
Man, I'm looking for another party. Me too. Duke's mad now, Mook.
I hate him. He really annoys me. He's like, shut up, you puppet.
No. Here's the thing. I am the complete opposite to you. I think this movie was saved by the puppet, and I wanted more puppet guy.
Because... He's got a t-shirt on. On his t-shirt is him and the puppet. On his t-shirt. What the fuck is going on?
He's self-promoting himself and the puppet. It's great. It looks out of all the characters, he looks like he's walked out of a completely different movie. Like he just walked on set from a different film and said like, oh shit, now I'm in a horror movie. Fuck.
He's like a children's TV presenter from the 90s though, isn't he?
Yeah. Fantastic. So you got that guy. You then got the British bitch. You can tell she's a British bitch because she's totally speaking in this manner and it's being an
really
absolute
weird accent as well.
It's supposed to be English, but don't know what that was. Aristocratic?
Yeah.
Like, where are the goddamn keys?
And her husband's got like perfectly angular hair. His hair's been like just hairsprayed into this brick brick shape on his head. Lego hair.
No offense to the guy, but I had no idea they were a couple for the longest time in the movie, because I kind of just thought that they were just different, so different. One's a sort of flamboyant queen, and then you got the British bitch. So you have absolutely no idea.
He's my favorite. I've got some clips of him, but I'll play them when we get to those bits.
All right, so you got them, and then you've just got and then you've got just two other random people. And then you've got Carol, who is quiet and moody for most of the movie. And is quiet and moody at the beginning. We don't even know what her deal is until later on, where she's somehow an expert in all things supernatural without any explanation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the girl, the woman who looked a bit like, you know, the one from RoboCop?
A little bit. Yeah, the one with the bigger poofier hair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it is
like Murphy's partner.
Yeah, yeah. Cameron, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't remember any of these people's names, and I honestly don't care.
Why do you think I wrote them down as like Dad Guy and like stuff like that?
Dad Guy, Guy in Bin Liner.
I did remember Duke, though.
Everyone remembers Duke because he's wearing a bin bag the entire time and thinking
shiny
it's
shiny nylon top and nylon the same material for his trousers as well. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It's so brilliant.
He's very wipe clean, that guy.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I was going to actually make a joke on it, and I'll fucking say it. Basically, he's wearing a bin liner. He's a trash person, really, and he is a trash person because he's an absolute bastard. So his outfit matches.
Yeah,
he sounds like one of the T-Birds from Greece or something. Yeah,
again, walked out from a different movie. All these people are from different movies. I'm convinced that the original script, which I'm very curious by, must have been like, this is a meta-narrative. This is the in-joke that all these people are not supposed to be friends. These are all stereotypes from horror movies and that all of them should be slaughtered in horrible ways. But when you try, when you don't explain that, it just looks like these people randomly met and now are forced into the situation by gunpoint to just get this done.
The characters are very like Friday the 13th type characters, I think. Like in those sequels, the Friday the 13th sequels, like the bad ones, like they're the types of characters that are in this movie. It's very similar.
Yeah.
Definitely. So back to the boy. So the 13-year-old boy takes out what looks like cocaine. Thank you, Luke. Now I can't think of it other than cocaine.
He even opens up a little knife, like a little, like he's about to test sample the goods.
He's got a long finger now. Yeah. A really long finger now.
Happy birthday, Billy.
What a fantastic 13-year-old present for a 13-year-old. It's like, just here, have some cocaine. You need it. Actually, I wouldn't need it for this movie, because then suddenly, out of the blue, there's this weird guy in the trees.
Yeah.
And
yeah, just chilling in the trees.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, and I thought at the beginning when watching this, is like, right, this guy's going to be bad, right? This guy's going to be a bad guy because he's just being really stalky and creepy. It's like, what is a boy like you doing in the woods like this? Like, I was thinking, where's the van? Like, where's the van?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he was supposed to be a cool, like, rebel type guy, wasn't he? That's what the film was going for. It's like, I know
he's such a cool rebel.
He's so cool. He just hangs around in trees and shit because he's that cool.
No, but these filmmakers don't know what cool is.
I think these filmmakers have absolutely no idea what cool is. So they're just coolish guy trying to be a rebel, talking to a 13-year-old and trying. I'm not sure whether to scare him, intimidate him, or lure him into his car. I don't know what the situation.
It came across as the latter to me. I didn't once think this guy was creepy. Well, I just thought he was definitely a potential nonce.
Yeah.
He says some weird stuff to the boy and saying, I love the fact where the kid's in denial at the one point. He goes over to him and I think he's saying, like, how old are you? And he says, 13. And he goes, you liar. Like, says, okay. Like, you know this shit?
Oh, yeah, I'm honest.
Okay, very quickly, can we talk about the acting of the boy?
I thought I recognised this boy, but then I kind of looked at what else he'd been in, and he hadn't been in anything else. He reminded me of a kid I've definitely seen in a film like this, but no, I was mistaken.
Well, he's quite generic, though, isn't he? Generic 80s kid.
Yeah, boy. Definitely.
His
generic 80s kid.
he's basically a Trumps. He's basically like something you'd find like in Top Trumps and say like a generic 80s boy. Here you go. Totally working. His acting is appalling, and I don't know whether I love it or hate it.
I don't know. I think we get those kind of kids in these movies. They all act that same generic way. It reminded me of the kid from Phantasm. Like, he's the similar level of training, I imagine.
So basically, level of wood, because there's five levels of wood here, and this is proper oak quality wood here. This is how wooden his acting was. It was hilarious.
I do like that he had an action plan, like a life plan there. I don't know what it was.
He's like, I've got a plan.
Plans.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I best get going, because I've got a big night ahead of me or something. I wonder I thought he was going to be in on it. I thought he was going to be... I actually thought, oh, there could be a big twist. I wonder if he's going to be the Paul Daniels guy. Like, I wonder if, like, there'd be two timelines going on here. But it wasn't quite as intricately plotted out.
And I thought... I was confused. Did he turn up later in a different form, that kid, or was that just a completely different kid?
I'd be honest, I sat there thinking about this, actually. And yeah. I would like to think, for continuity's sake, that, yes, it is. But I'm also remembering what this movie was, that, and continuity doesn't exist. So I think, no, I don't think. I think the kid just got buried and died. which introduces us to one of my favorite characters in the whole movie, because this is the character that's the bridge gap between both films, between the old film and the new film. And this is the weird cat man with a hook hand.
He looked like a cross between Nightcrawler from the X-Men and, you know, the boyfriend from the Royal Family.
can we talk about his outfit as well? So he's wearing like a ruffled shirt, a gold like waistcoat.
Yeah.
What kind of boots was he wearing? He's wearing like
boots. Wedding DJ who's got a bit off.
Spurs.
Oh yeah, he had Spurs.
Yeah, he was a gold waistcoat. He kind of like a bit like McLovin. Have you seen?
Yeah.
McLovin. Yeah. Kind of had that outfit. Yeah, that kind of vibe going on.
I love that.
And he kind of just—he did the same thing the whole film, which is kind of just skulk around like that, and that was it. That was all he did.
The majority of the movie, it was us. And this is—and you can kind of see this is where the hard cut's in, and this is how they're trying to make both movies merge together by literally having him. And this happens a lot in the movie. He would just be walking around, peeking through a bush, or hiding behind a door, creaking as if he's looking at the previous movie. Mm-hmm. So it makes him look like, he was there the whole time.
Yeah.
And now you can tell, obviously, they had lots of footage of him just creeping around. It just got spliced in here and there. Like.
It's everywhere. It's like saying, I'm imagining how many hours of footage is just this guy walking around saying, now hide behind the door, hold the door, appear through a bush, just do this for a while. Just in all the different locations in the house, just say, like, you, my friend, are going to be the glue that saves this movie.
Why did he bury the kid?
Because I don't know.
I was like,
so he could become part of like the monsters in the house and stuff.
But
like,
we never see him again. So he just
killed
the kid
at the end. If he sat up at the end as one of the zombies, which I'm assuming he didn't, right? Yeah. I don't think he did.
No, he never did. So basically, basically this cat person first kills off the cool guy in a hilarious way because he suddenly just falls off screen. I had no idea what happened. And then he's just dead. And then the boy gets chased by this cat man, falls into a hole and gets buried alive. That's it. And that's the end of the boy arc. This 13-year-old boy is dead. The arc is gone.
Yeah.
Well, it's great though. Like, it's supposed to be a sinister sort of scene when the cat guy was... like killing off the boy, but the music was kind of like this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
it sounds like really bad Resident Evil music.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It's like horror Seinfeld or something. Like the bass in Seinfeld. Slap bass.
When he was burying the kid as well, there were so many cuts back and forth between him burying him and the kid just... There were about 100 cuts back and forth between that. Just so you wanted horrible, to see every moment.
Yeah, it's quite a nasty scene.
I feel sorry for the boy. I feel really sorry for the boy because he is totally... You can see dirt actually falling on him and he's not comfortable. And I can just imagine the new director, Eugene, just sort of creeping, going, yes, yes, keep burying the boy. Yes, you do fine. Stay there. Ramble.
I can't breathe.
No, it's fine. We need more. Put more dirt on the boy. Right. And then that's the end of the boy arc. Which that's literally the first 5 minutes of the movie, just this random death that has no payoff, no nothing, and then gets killed off. We then go back to where they finally all go to the house. The guy's driving the car, but they get to the house. You look at the house. You go in, and like most people, like it felt like a Scooby-Doo episode here. They just walk in.
Yeah, just like dead intrigued by it, aren't they? Because they're like party people. They want to like find the next party, don't they?
They do. It's Duke saying, I just want to go out and party. And everyone's saying, where are you going? And I'm actually sitting there thinking, yeah, where the fuck are you going? If you didn't find the house, where would you be driving to?
Yeah. I mean, you'd only be going to a party in that outfit.
That is totally a party outfit.
Maybe they're doggers.
You don't go to the post office.
It would make sense if they were doggers. That's why they don't look like they belong in the same friendship circle.
So basically, the synopsis is that basically Duke and the puppet guy got too rowdy at their previous house party and they all left. Maybe you're right. Maybe that was a swingers party and they're just saying, right, we'll just, you know, we've already got each other's keys, so we might as well just get into the car, just find another place to bang.
What happened was Duke was waiting outside the previous house and but then the bin van came past and just thought, hang on a minute. Chucked him in the back. He got crushed.
Oh, no. A worthy end to a shitty trash person.
They're all like very familiar with each other, though, aren't they?
They're all familiar. Well,
with someone you've been fucking.
Yeah.
This is true. You have to get to know them before you shove something up one of their holes. So, gotta do that. Okay, once they get into the house, there's one thing that says, like, as the I think the girlfriend of the older dentist looking guy says, like, I've known these people for years, and I'm sitting there going, no you don't. These people are too different and too weird to you to properly consider them all close friends of yours.
And they all like hate each other as well, so like there's nothing to comes across as them being mitty because they all seem to absolutely hate each other.
Yeah, like they're too different. They're way too much polar opposites for them to do that, especially the puppet guy. Who the fuck knows this guy and said, oh, he's perfectly fine, we're gonna bring him everywhere.
Yeah, the only ones that get on are, you know, the dad guy and his other half.
Yeah,
who's a lot younger than him actually.
Player.
I thought maybe player. definite swingers.
Okay, so I think we're establishing that they were basically a swingers party. They just got a little bit in the way. And now they're just like, we need another place. Ooh, this 24-roomed house would be perfect to bang all over.
Yeah, I like so the, as they're exploring the house, Duke finds a locked door, so he smashes it with a chair. Like, yes! Seconds.
That's the first thing he does. It's like, oh, this door won't open. Bang! Breaks it in. There's a just a there's a, just a void into the blackness. Okay. And then a body falls out holding a board and a vial. But all happened at once. And the thing is, Duke's reaction is, oh, he's not real. Poke it. Stop poking. So basically, would that be your reaction? If you found a dead body, would the first thing you do is poke it? Because I've always been curious about if anyone would poke a dead body.
Well, no. I mean, it doesn't look real. But I mean, that's because it's not real. But I think my first thing would be to smell it, surely.
Yeah. I think it would be a more intimate thing than poking it.
Like, yeah, this definitely smells like rotten eggs. Yeah. Ooh, got a nice musk though. Yeah. All right. So they do that, and this is then where we're properly introduced then to the other element in this whole thing, which is the wizard, warlock, magician thing.
The weird guy.
Paul Daniels.
He's like a
Paul Daniels. Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of like wants to be like a Vincent Price type character, doesn't he? But he's not quite cool enough.
this whole movie isn't cool enough for that. And you can just sort of see that he's just sitting there in his chair and he's talking to the cat man, because apparently that's his butler or something. And he's going like, yes, they're all in the house now. And now they're all just going to play my game of chess.
He's always been the only film this actor was in.
Yeah, he's always not surprised. He's always chiming in constantly. Whenever someone says something in our main group, like someone says nobody lives here, and then he says something in reply to them all the time. This time he said somebody does live here forever. That doesn't make sense. That's not a real sentence.
It's so weird. You can clearly tell now that I've told you these are two movies in one. You can clearly tell that this is the new stuff. This is just the guy who's saying like, right, we need to put some kind of narrative into this 40% piece of trash. So right, what if we have a warlock? Yes, and he is omnipotent. Yes, and he can talk and be a exposition dump. Yes, and we can talk, have him talk in riddles. Yes, and he now has a cat person as a butler. Yes,
and he's got a permanent frog in his throat. Like, he never swallows it down.
it's like a shit Darth Vader, isn't it? Like drainpipe Darth Vader.
Yeah.
It's
Darth Vader.
Now, and this is the weird thing. So apparently his plot line is he needs to kill all these people. So the more people he kills, the more energy he can use to revitalize and bring back his dead wife, which... Okay.
Who isn't even that into him?
Oh, no!
You again? I'm already dead once, and now I've got to wake up and start this marriage all over again. Give it a rest.
The dialogue there is fantastic.
I've got a clip of that.
Yeah, can you play a clip of the dialogue sequence between these two?
I have waited by your side day and night for an entire lifetime.
Stay away!
Stay away from me!
I like that music. It's nice.
But you see now as if we can never be separated.
Why is he German?
Why is he German?
I love her voice in that bit. They're like, no, stay away.
No.
Dead moment.
Imagine that, though. Imagine you've been waiting by someone's bedside day and night, waiting for them to wake up, and then they just woke up and went, stay away. You ungrateful bitch.
It's so weird. It's brilliant. Because the response is like, you need to let me go. Let me die. And I think the reason is because I think she has maybe been like in this magical coma for like 70 years or something. And then wakes up and then you woken up to like, you were handsome once. And just looks up going, God, you're fugly. Yeah. Let me die. I don't want to be associated with you. Oh, good grief. So that's a whole different kettle of fish. Jesus. All right. So that's all happening. So basically, the wife's trying to be slowly revitalized by having all these killer things. And then, while this is happening, we get the Ouija board thing. So
yeah, like Duke finds it, doesn't he?
Yeah, Duke finds the weird Ouija board thing, which I personally find bizarre. Because it's not really a Ouija board, because we know... Have any of you actually ever played with a Ouija board?
No.
No? I love how everyone's going like no, because if they say yes, they think they might be haunted. I have had a go at a It's like saying, no, I haven't. No, I haven't played with the dead. No, I've never played with one, but I've seen plenty of Ouija boards, and I've seen people, and I've seen like I had a little touch on it and go, ooh, you know. But it doesn't look like this. This is a totally weird ass different sort of thing with a really cool.
They sent the props guy to get a Ouija board, and he'd gone, oh, I don't know what that is.
Again. Just go and find one. You can find one. He came back with, like, Mousetrap or something.
It's like,
this is it, right? Is this it? Yeah.
That's what you call a Ouija board. Yeah, perfectly fine. With this really cool, like, little thing that looks like it's got a skull on it, and it looks like a claw, and that's a thing that's been moved around in, that kind of thing.
Do you remember what Duke said about it?
No, what did Duke say? Go on, play it.
Pretty goddamn weird if you ask me. What is it, art or something?
What is it, art or something?
Oh, it's definitely some kind of art.
Some kind of art or something? It's proper weird, man.
Dude, let me just fill up my quap and sort out my fucking garbage outfit. Jesus Christ. So, when this happens, everyone's looking confused. Obviously, there's a dead body just fallen out of the closet. And there's some kind of Ouija board's appeared up. And everyone's saying, what the fuck is it? Carol comes out of fucking nowhere and starts talking like she has been an expert at the supernatural forever, even though we've never been properly introduced or know that she's actually an expert on Ouija boards and ghosts and demons.
Yeah, she loves it. She's really into it all, isn't she?
Yeah. I personally find that quite funny because there's just moments where you sort of sitting there and she's just talking, and she a full exposition dump trying to explain what the fuck this Ouija board is. And then she says, like, well, does anyone know how to use it? The puppet guy gives it a go and doesn't know what to do with it. He's using the puppet hand, I think. And just...
She says it's to communicate. It's a communicator. And the camp guy is like this.
Communication with...
the dead.
Communication with who?
Oh, I love it. No, and then
so
the British bish
in his voice.
No, but then the British bish says something afterwards. It's like, communicate with who? Is like, with the dead. And it's like, the dead, but they're dead. What? That is... Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, fantastic. What a line.
It's a good point.
It's a good point. It's like, why you want to talk to the dead? They're dead. It's like, yeah, but that's the point of... Anyway, okay. you see, when you start adding logic to movies like this that don't have any logic, your head hurts.
But as you said, the puppet guy. I've got too many clips for this section, but the puppet guy.
Yeah.
Chili Beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Are they friendly spirits?
My turn.
Get out.
This is another annoying example. I've got a few examples of him, but like, yeah, he just irritates me.
Has his puppet voice got a lisp?
Yes.
So he does.
Yes. I love it. I want a movie about that guy. I want a movie entirely about the puppet guy. That's all I want. I want to know his backstory. I want to know what's with the puppet. I want to know if he's always like this or does he have a tender soul. I want to know more about puppet guy. There's something there that everyone else doesn't have.
If you knew somebody who was like that, you'd just be like, oh, just give it a rest. Honestly, just for one day, can we just do something and you not bring the puppet along?
Why is the puppet everywhere?
You know the T-shirt he's got? Do you think that's like merch or whether he's just had that one made?
Self-promoting. Right. So, oh, God. Brilliant. So, all right. So, once that's happened, he's done the whole thing and they're all doing that. Carol gets on, and then suddenly she just becomes a deadite. Like, she just becomes a full blown deadite by this point.
Yeah, within a second, right? Like, there's no sort of halfway point. It's like a drop banana. She just goes bad.
Just boosh. Like, from here to here, now officially a deadite, and starts attempting to kill them, but doing pretty badly at it. Like throwing the Ouija board at puppet guy and all that kind of stuff. And that is where it gets to the point where you're noticing, for no reason, like, it wasn't really a proper summoning. Like, she only just touched it once and now she's a deadite. And then the zombies come out outside with some really cool zombie-looking effects.
Yeah, one guy's got his eye, like, stuck on a spring or something, sticking out of his head.
Yeah, the close-ups are really good, like, when you saw, like, little details like that.
Yeah, so you can see the original budget with the gore stuff. Like, you can say, like, yeah, okay, the gore stuff was going to be cool. Like, you can see that. This is the first time I've said, oh, okay, the gore is going to be interesting now because there was nothing like that before.
Yeah.
And because the zombies are outside, now again, this is the thing. Everyone seems to be experts because at one point it's like saying, Well, look, it's like, okay, they close the door. It's like, they look like the zombies won't be coming in. How do you know this?
Yeah, that was Dad Guy, wasn't it?
He goes, yeah, Dad Guy,
Dad Guy says this.
Those things aren't going to let us out of here. You still want to go out there?
So what the hell are we going to do? Just stand here and wait for them to break in and murder us, huh?
I don't think those things can get in here.
You're right.
You're right. Immediate. You're right.
But yeah, he's so voice. Calm the whole time. He can't do like hysterical, can he? Calm dad. He's like this calm dad guy.
Well, because he's the dad. He's the only parent in the bunch of these people, clearly.
So everyone has been screaming outside before that point, and then he's just like, they can't get in here.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, because he's suddenly an expert on zombies now. So, right, the rest of the time, now they've finally split up. Okay, they decide to split up and look for clues, basically, just like every other haunted house. And now we get to, well, this is the bit I'm finally want to start talking about, all the monsters in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is when it gets really interesting. This week, it'd make a good music video, this film. You know, you sort of just have the sort of the gore stuff happening, joining me, or even like in the back, like on a bar, they just had the sort of the monster scenes playing on the background behind the bar.
Yeah, this would be a good one for that, like the background, like because the visuals are really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because out of context, if you had individual scenes, you can see that, oh, they're pretty decent, each individual monster. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. On their own, they work. But in connection to all this and the hard cutting and jumping between another movie that doesn't make any sense and blah, 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 it's kind of semi-ruined. So what's your... Okay, so there's loads of monsters. So let's go around the room, children, and talk about what's your favorite monster in this series then? So what's the favorite monster that appeared?
I thought there was an obvious one, but I think there is. There's a couple that I really liked.
So do you want to share one, Luke?
I'll leave the more obvious ones to you guys, and I'm going to go with the Halloween costume Grim Reaper guy.
Yeah!
who explodes.
It's like every generic like Grim Reaper, like some Halloween, sort of the cheapest Halloween costume of a Grim Reaper. It's like the bright glowing red eyes and everything. He's amazing.
His cyber's pretty nasty. Like he hits the table, it goes right into it. But he obviously just looks like a guy in a suit. Because he's like slamming this thing, and he's supposed to be sort of floating around, but somehow they end up on the roof, and he chucks the Grim Reaper off the roof, and he explodes when he hits the ground.
The explosion was beautiful.
It's literally this loud.
Like Jesus!
Like the Grim. I mean. If he's the Grim Reaper, obviously you can't kill the Grim Reaper. But clearly, this is what happened. Just before the Grim Reaper touched the ground, he just disappeared into a puff of smoke, and that's what the explosion is. Like, aha!
Yeah.
It's always like they had some like pyro they could use. So, like, well, we've got to use it for something. They just had this really epic explosion for that death guy.
Fantastic. Oh, the Grim Reaper was kind of awesome. Yeah, that's a good end. Okay, so Ben, how about you?
I don't reckon anything beats the farty dusty men for me because they were delightful.
My favorite too.
Particularly because they've got a fight sequence with Duke, and you can see like all his outfit from different angles.
You see while a bit, fighting do you see a bit of crack? Man. I think you see a bit of crack, right? Like he bends over at one point.
Yeah. These dusty fart men, they're awful as well because at one point he overpowers two of them, just pushes them away like that. Like the putties from Power Rangers. But
yes, I was totally thinking that, but just fartier, which I don't understand why the farts, though. Why were they farting?
Was that added in potty post, men. Do you reckon? Hang on a minute. Do you not really be good if they were farting? I don't know, I think the scene's fine. Add a few farts into this scene and tell me if it doesn't improve it.
Oh, actually.
Yeah, right, it does.
Actually, I've been actually able to find a factoid about that. I just found it now. Brilliant. So the farting was done in post-production. But when Spookies were actually being made. So this wasn't the original thing from Twisted Souls. They weren't meant to be farty, right? But they put the farts in order to make the scene seem a bit more comical. And so it is no longer, so it seems less violent when they melted.
That wasn't in the soundboard.
Sorry, that was a soundboard.
I was like, that one of the farts from the signboard? That was louder than I remember.
No, that was me. I'm so sorry.
I have got a clip of this scene, actually. I'll play in a minute, but there.
Do it.
Go on.
Play it.
Maybe there's some way out of here. Maybe through some secret wall.
He's getting flashbacks of my granddad walking into the room.
It's got like a belly rumbling noise as well, hasn't it?
These guys are hungry and farty and they're ready to go after you. I love
the kid in me that appeals to me every time I hear it. It's like I'm just like laughing at fart jokes. Yeah. It's like it wins every time.
But you can clearly see, like, in the original cut, I don't think they were meant to be farty. And obviously, it's explained that they tried to use it so therefore they can get, instead of getting, like, so basically the sort of the rating afterwards wouldn't be so harsh because it's like, yeah, but, yeah, there's loads of weird gore effects, but these guys are farty. So you can't make it an X. It's it could be R-rated. There's farts in it.
Yeah. I didn't think they were that scene was that violent, though.
Exactly. It's such a weird creative choice. But then and then those guys are killed by literally just throwing wine at them and having them melt.
Yeah.
That's strange. So they use an axe to like cut a hole in the big wine barrel and that just melts these guys. But why do they even think of that as an idea? They're being attacked by these farty dusty monsters. You're thinking red wine, that's their secret weakness.
Well, I think it's because Duke literally does an uppercut to one of these farty minor zombie things and he lands in a puddle and he notices that the one's a bit steamy and he sits there going like, water, it must be water, get the wine. And a flood like this, that these barrels must had no had so much pressure in them because it just launches. That one's a good one. I like that one. Ed, your favorite monster?
Well, mine was I like the farting zombies, but I also like Merman as well.
The Merman. Okay. So
the weird fish guy. That it just seems like really out of place because obviously he would only be really sort of dangerous in water, but he's out of water and he's kind of like flapping around on the ground.
These are the ones, like you mentioned before, that look like boglins because they are just so weird and makes no sense. So the British guy, the British bitch and the posh and the weird flamboyant boyfriend guy thing with the sarcasm the size of up to here gets slowly devoured by these weird mermen. sequence was interesting. The fight sequence was interesting. Where they're just struggling, and she's like, "Oh no!" There's a piercing sort of one of the mermen, like, and then drops an entire bookshelf on the other and just starts stamping on it, going, "Why don't you die?"
I'm struggling to remember how she dies now because she gets away from the boglins, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. and her face melted, didn't she?
By the queen boglin.
By the queen boglin with tentacles. Yeah.
She gets very wounded though, doesn't she? She's almost like bleeding out, pretty much.
Yeah,
she's like really only just gets away. But my favourite bit of that kind of scene is where like the sassy guy is like he starts drinking, and she says like, "Oh, you don't drink," and he basically wants to get drunk anyway. And they say this, like, I'll just play it.
Go for it.
David, throw that crap away.
Why? Because you say so? Because
you don't drink, you asshole. And you're only getting sick. God knows it's touched you.
I don't give a damn, honey.
And then, that's my favourite line of his. I don't give a damn, honey.
And I love it because he takes a swig, he just spits it out immediately. He's like, flavors. I've never touched alcohol in my life. And the way she dies as well, like going back to British bitch, she gets killed off because she sees a ghost or some kind of apparition of the flamboyant boyfriend who's now dead and says, like, come join us. It's like basically, come join us to the dark side. We have cookies, you know. And suddenly gets killed by Queen Boglin with really kind of cool looking stop motion tentacles with lightning powers.
Yeah, that's right.
And her face melts. Which is brilliant, but the first it's the first time we've seen like this kind of claymation effect. So I was so confused when I first saw it.
Yeah. I really like that it's included in films, though. It's something you don't really see nowadays, is it? They had a lot of that in Evil Dead, didn't they?
Yeah. And you can see that this is basically what they're trying to do. They're trying to emulate Evil Dead here with like the weird face melting. I don't get it.
But it adds a lot of charm because it's kind of like it's funny rather than scary, isn't it? Like,
there was, there's another monster that really had no effect on the film at all. She was like a little puppet. You know the old puppet TV show, the satirical thing with Maggie Thatcher and that? It looked like one of those...
Spitting Image.
Yeah, it looked like one of those Spitting Image things. It was like a evil laughing little bride thing. Which
like,
knocks...
a witchy type character, wasn't it? Like, it looked like...
She knocked the bride out and then brought her back to life and then just flew off. I won't tell you what she was doing. But she looked cool. Laughing
yeah, she away. Looked she looked cool because she had the stretch out face. It's very Evil Dead-ish at some points. It's got like and like, but you can see that you can clearly see that was a puppet. Like you clearly see that was just a puppet, no effort, and just knocks the bride down who's escaping from the evil warlock, and just flies away. Really cool looking, but makes no sense.
Yeah.
Also reminded me of like a bad baddie from Terrorhawks. Remember Terrorhawks? Terrorhawks was like one of the Gerry Anderson ones, wasn't it? Like, not one of the most popular, but there's a really scary villain characters in that. It was like really frightened me as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, it's been ages that I've seen Terrorhawks. But yeah. Okay, so my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you sound like, oh, yeah, I know this now. I remember. Okay, my favorite has to be the Spider Queen because, again, makes absolutely no sense why there's a Spider Queen there, but she is definitely the best looking effect in the entire movie.
She's scary, and her transition of like going into the spiders, awesome. I really like it.
They could have made a film based entirely just on this monster, and I watched it and enjoyed it.
And I think, honestly, if the original guys wanted to, they could have just picked one monster and made an entire movie out of it. Like, you could have made an entire movie with the farting miners, or you could do an entire movie with, like, the Spider Queen or whatever it is. You could do a whole movie on one of them, but they said, no, let's have them all. They got too greedy and too big for their britches, and this is what happens.
Mind you, a whole movie of the farting zombies, it's stretching that joke.
Yeah. You'd be sick of it after 10 minutes.
I'm sort of having the thought of thinking like saying, well, what do we do? Okay. Not only do they fart, they vomit now. Yeah, they vomit, they piss, they shit. They just do all the different kind of bodily functions that you can do. But yeah, Spider Queen. Brilliant thing. She gets transformed. All the arms come out. She attacks the puppet guy and just eats him, basically. That was weird. It's good. I love the
he's
fact
like
that
he pops, doesn't he? He like pops and deflates like a balloon. It's really funny.
It's like when you used to have one of those like cans of juice as a kid and just suck it in. Basically, that was. It was brilliant. Yeah. And like I said, that bit that I'm going to constantly remember. It's that little part.
He gets stuck to it. He gets stuck to like a spider web as well.
And it's just like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true because the spiderweb bitch is like, like he's not really trying. Like, no offense, buddy. Yeah. Like, you could put more effort into it.
He could have got away.
Yeah.
And he just looks a little bit worried as well. He doesn't look like he's really going to get, like, you know, eaten. No.
Oh, what are you going to do? Oh, go on then.
Are you going to deflate me, are you? You are.
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
Oh no! Right. Okay. So then this leads to what I believe was the original ending of Twisted Souls, which is suddenly they find Carol, the ones who are alive, which is the girlfriend of Duke and the original and the older couple with the old guy and everything else, right? And they find Carol, who now becomes fully possessed by something, and then her brain sort of explodes and emits old people rays.
Yeah, that's correct.
She's being controlled by the
What? What?
She's being controlled by the attic, like the attic guy. The guy in the attic is like talking through her all the time.
Is that where he is? Yeah. The attic. I thought he was in the basement for some reason.
We have no idea where this happened. We have no idea where he's hiding.
It's just in the next room over.
Yeah. There's no indication to say it was in the attic. I just.
This is you putting logic into this movie. Okay, it has to be the attic because they've never been to the attic. Mm. So we're going to make it the attic. Fine, whatever. They're right. They're in the attic. I just explained this. Old people raise. I had no idea that was even a superpower.
No.
Just, I'm going to emit old people raise on you. And the funny thing is now the old guy actually looks his age.
Yeah.
Extra
doesn't
wrinkly.
That kind of happen when, doesn't something like that happen in Indiana Jones when he opened the Lost Ark? When it gives some stuff off, some people's like hair starts going grey and that. Is that that? Maybe that's something else I'm thinking of.
No,
got that vibe.
This is you, Ben, putting logic again into this movie. It's just it's like, you're Ben. Trying to think. You have to stop. Stop thinking that this makes sense. None of this makes sense. Yeah. You're going to hurt yourself when you start thinking, oh, it's like that. No, it's not.
If you try to put too much logic into this film, you know that scene in this film where Paul Daniels' vein is like erupting out of his head?
Yes! Why was that even a thing?
Well, it's like he's like Charles Xavier power, right? That's like his. He should have just done that. If you just touch your head, that's all you need to do to show that you have that power. But then he had to get the vein. Like he needed a Nurofen.
That one little vein is just there. Going like, kind of brilliant. So yeah, and then what looks like the old guy, the older guy, finally gets the vial, throws the vial at Carol. And she explodes, and the Ouija board explodes, and that seemed to be the original ending. That the final three people survive. They survived the haunted house, and they would leave. But we never actually see them leave, do we?
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
because really, at that point,
thought about much about this film.
True, but by that point, actually, the movie just that their arc ends. Like, because now we're going back to the reincarnated wife thing again, who stabs the magician in the eye, which is awesome. I think in the eye or the forehead?
Forehead.
It's the forehead. Forehead. Yeah. I've got a clip of that. Go it's on. Cool.
Okay.
Tell me that you will love me.
It's like Bane.
That you will love me for all time.
I will love you for all time.
Can't go over that guy's voice.
Sounds brilliant. It's awful. So
it's like Brian Bedonde or whatever his name is.
whatever. Oh, we don't care. Like, do we care?
Brian Bedonde.
So basically she runs away from stabbing him in the forehead and runs out in outside the house where she's now being completely tormented by all the zombies. And you can see that these are not the same zombies from the original one because they have weird blue body paint and you can actually see some of the extras haven't finished their full paint. So some of their fingers are still regular skin color and stuff like that.
Quite like these scenes. These scenes are quite prevalent in like zombie movies around this period where the sort of the 80s action beats kick in and then the zombies start erupting out of the ground. And then the woman's just running away from the massing horde.
It's very thriller in this bit, wouldn't it?
It's very much like if I was looking at this going, this feels like it looks like these guys are all extras from the Thriller video.
Yeah.
And she runs. Her dress mysteriously gets ripped off because, of course, it does. And
yes, that's what the director's saying.
Before the chase, though, you get my favorite zombie, which is this one.
Mama.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one. Like, really frightening zombie. Like, mama.
Because there's a whole other character. Like, her child is in this film.
Yeah.
Yes, we completely
missed. I thought it was related to that in some way.
So maybe the whole okay, now is us trying to figure out what their intentions were, which is going to hurt us, really, mentally. But I think, basically, then, trying to fix this somehow is that she's being the bride. Obviously, you have the warlock. And so the warlock's saying, well, we have new children now. So every time they kill someone and becomes a part in their grave, which was one thing, one bit we completely missed. A guy gets killed off by literally getting killed by the cat guy, I think it is, and sees his own grave come out of the ground.
Yeah, it's like all those zombies are like her sort of children, but how would they know that?
I don't know. Who cares? So somehow all the zombies know that they're children, and then it's like, Mom, come back. And I'm imagining them actually all thinking, Mom, it's been 70 years. You owe me so many Christmas presents. So she finally starts to escape, finds a car randomly, which I thought was the original car from the opening. No, it's a completely different car. Randomly. She gets in, finds another random guy who happens to be parking there and says, oh shit, zombies.
They drive away. Crook, innit?
Yeah, which later turns out, it says, oh, thank God I've escaped. And he says like, but you can never escape. You know, I've always loved you. And leads to the ending of that, which reveals that little cute little hunk guy is actually the cat person with the hook hand the entire time.
He's been in a coma for like an old man in love with her and a werecat man in love with her. Jeez, she must be.
Well, just.
What's going on?
While you're breaking up while you were doing that, but also that just adds to the effect because pure and simply, it shows how broken this ending was.
Reminds me about you were saying about Thriller earlier. Is another kind of Thriller moment. Is it like, you know, when Michael Jackson kind of turns around and goes like, I'm not like other guys, kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, do you think she's safe with this guy in the car? And he turns around to be the cat man.
And then the movie actually sort of ends there. But there's one thing we haven't mentioned. Right at the very, very beginning, there is a pulsating grave that happens, I don't know, with no context. Like, we don't understand it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it turns out that the magician has been in that grave the entire time and resurrects himself, but that doesn't work because he was in the attic, or is he dead? Whatever. Jump scare, the end. That was literally it, basically. And that was the movie. A whole bunch of shit happens. It gets very confusing and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right, it is a movie.
It's an experience. I would think it's an experience. If I was high on drugs, I would think this is amazing. If I was if I had ADHD, this movie's perfect for me because there's loads of shit happening constantly.
Yeah, yeah. I should have had a Big Boy Ciders when I was watching it, because that would have helped. Especially the party bit, I would have been like hysterics.
Oh my god, this is perfect. You need to be drunk. I think you have a couple of Big Boy Ciders having a chug down going, yes, this movie's amazing. I was just thinking farting would totally help this movie right now.
Cool. So to rate or to review the movie, it's a difficult one. I mean, we normally go from A to F. Do you guys want to join in and give it an A to F rating as well? Or
sure.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, Johan, do you want to take it first? What would you give? This is your recommendation, so I'm imagining an A. All right, A, B.
All right, okay. Now, if I'm going to review it for pure unadulterated shit quality, it's an A. But as a movie itself, as a full movie itself, and an experience, and for people who've not into sort of trashy horror movies, and rubbish in general, I kind of would give this a D. Now, the reason why I give it a D is because there's some really cool horror effects, and some of the monsters are great, but there's loads of hard cutting, the movie is nonsensical, you're completely confused most of the time, and then it just fucking ends with no answers solved. So, yeah, I would give it a D.
Yeah. What
about you, Ed?
Is it me?
Yeah.
I was going to say D, but I'd probably even go a little bit lower, like a D minus. In terms of trashy movies, there's so many more that are so much better. There's just a few little bits that I liked in it. And as I said, at the beginning, it's kind of a bit of a slog, really, until it kicks off. Didn't really find it that overall that great.
We need you.
I think I'd go for a D as well.
just because of my, like, it's a, as I said, it was a roller coaster, lots of ups, lots of downs in this film, but it's entertaining in a way, but it's also quite unnerving, and there's not much in terms of logic or coherent narrative. So yeah, I'll probably go for a D.
Yeah, well, I was struggling. I mean, I was leaning towards an E at one point, but the latter half of the film has got a lot of fun. I like some of the effects, like the spider lady in particular. So I'd be leaning for like a D minus, I think. But yeah, it was worth a watch for sure.
So basically, in terms of your ratings, this movie's failed, but has a few promising moments.
I mean, as a movie, it's a failure, sure. But but there are individual scenes and parts of the film that are very enjoyable. Okay, so that's the film. That's the reviews there. Do you guys want to let people know how to keep up with you guys and what you guys are up to?
Okay, Ed, do you want to break it down to what we're doing on the YouTube channel in a minute?
Yeah, so we've got three YouTube channels. We've got the Trash Tapes YouTube channel, our main channel, which has got like short films and cult and current reviews and reactions. And then we've got our Enigmatic Play channel, which is all gaming as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got lots of stuff going on there at the moment. But you can access all of the channels via Enigmatic Productions and vice versa on the other channels. Yeah, so do you want to talk about the podcast, Johan?
Yep, so with the Trash Tapes is now on every platform. So it's very similar to where you find you guys. If you type in the Trash Tapes on anywhere, we're on things like Buzzsprout, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. The recent episode, as of recording this now, there's been episodes like Batman and Robin, which was fun to do. We did Doom, the 2005 version of the movie. Oh boy, that was something. And we've done things like Star Crash. We've done things like Miami Connection. So we're doing loads more there. And the kind of reason, again, why we're doing this is because Spookies eventually might become a screening, because I'm thinking that people need to see how fucking weird this movie is. So eventually down the line, once everyone's allowed out of their homes, we might actually have a wide screening so everyone can also feel this horrendous torture. So
yeah, that's very cool. I will say to the listeners, go and check out all of the Enigmatic YouTube stuff, because you guys put a lot of effort into like the production, like the dressing, like the production dressing, I guess, of like it looks like,
yeah, man. Everything's great.
Yeah, when I used to watch like game review shows on Sky One and stuff like that. Like,
oh yeah, thanks.
Like you've got the same sort of like I don't know, it's really really well put together. So people should definitely check that out. But yeah, Ben, anything else you want to tell people before we go?
No, I think we've covered everything, haven't we? What are we reviewing next week, Luke?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's it. What, we've got no idea.
Band that's not like us. The rest okay. of them.
We're going to be reviewing something.
Yeah.
You should do some more cult classics, because I remember when you were going through the list and you're like the IMDb list and you're, all these cult classics were coming out, and I love all that stuff.
Yeah. I've got a recommendation for you guys for the Trash Tapes.
Okay.
Have you heard of a film called The Boxer's Omen?
No.
So there's a whole like. Load of films that were like Chinese black magic films, and The Boxer's Omen, I think it's on YouTube, but you can find it with a bit of digging. It's about a kickboxer / Zen Buddhist monk who's in this magical battle throughout the entire film with like an evil black magician guy, and that's all it is. But like the rituals themselves are so insane, like the practical effects are bizarre. There's a guy who decapitates himself and his head hovers towards the other guy, starts strangling. It's right up your street, I think. I think it's really a great film. I think it's a lot of fun.
You sold me. You sold me with the self-decapitation. I don't know how that works. I'm totally game for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, decapitations get extra points, don't they?
Yeah, they do get to do extra points in the trashometer. So yeah, I'm totally game for it.
Yeah, it'd work well for you guys. But yeah, that's everything. So if you enjoyed the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/ Hawk and Cleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating and review on iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. Join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout, Board Advisors. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude, but also thanks to Mr. Ed and Johan.
Thank you very much, guys.
We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.